Thanks for tuning in to this Agriculture Today. And during our first half hour of the broadcast, we're going to offer some advanced looks, if you will, at the program that makes up the 2017 Risk and Profit Conference here at K-State. This is hosted annually by the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State, and it is absolutely chock full of valuable information for you producers, should you choose to attend next week. One of those who will be featured on a multitude of breakout sessions during Risk and Profit, our guest now, Risk Management Specialist with K-State Research and Extension, Art Barnaby. And Art, we want to talk about a couple of the topics that you will be engaging in with attendees in the breakout sessions coming up next week at Risk and Profit. And one of those you have tracked closely as it's been unfolding here, the proposed cuts to the crop insurance program as part of farm policy deliberations. This has resurfaced once more. Where do we stand? You'll be bringing that up.
Well, it'll all get settled in the next farm bill, because that's where it's going to happen if anything does happen to these proposals. The president put out a thing to really whack the insurance program. And it follows pretty much the same thing that was put out earlier by Sensenbrenner and Kine. Those are two congressmen from Wisconsin, and Senator Flake of Arizona. They submitted legislation to make cuts. The three areas they want to cut is a limit on adjusted gross income, a limit on the amount of premium paid by the government, which is often referred to as a subsidy. So it's going to set that at $40,000, and they want to eliminate the harvest price. Let's go in reverse order, because that's probably the simplest. The harvest price is pretty straightforward. They eliminate it or eliminate the share of the government's premium on the harvest price. Probably doesn't make any difference, because in the Corn Belt, if you take away the government's share of the harvest price, you're going to really increase the premium cost, because the harvest price is probably half of the contract when you sort out all the particulars.
That option is highly popular with growers.
As I was saying to you earlier, we've had three new products introduced in the last few years, including a new one this year, margin protection, which will be discussed also. But those products, all of them came out without the harvest price, and within a couple of years, every one of them had it added. And that ought to tell you something about that particular feature. And it doesn't matter what size farm you are. You could be 200 acres and you are getting impacted from this, because it will either not be available, or if it is available, you'd have to pay the full premium cost. So it could be very pricey at that point. The second thing that they want to eliminate or put a limit on is the adjusted gross income. The congressman, they had $250,000 in their adjusted gross limit, which, you know, it's getting down there where it could hit some people. But the president's budget has that at $500K. I don't think it makes any difference, because once you put this kind of a limit in, they never go away. It's a slippery slope. They start down this path and they just – it's an easy place to cut, because we're only affecting a few voters. It doesn't matter, but that's the majority of ag production. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. You only affect a few voters. So that one will have some impacts that I don't think people really thought about. Suppose you're a young farmer that's farming a lot of rented land because you can't afford to buy the amount of land that you really need to farm in order to be commercially viable. You have to get to a certain size because of the economies of scale. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. And one way you get there is rent farmland. In some cases, they're renting from various investment funds or individuals. Doesn't matter. If those folks are over the AGI limit, then they can't participate in the crop insurance. So if you've got crop shares with these kind of entities, that's going to create problems for them. They'll have to go to cash rents probably, and that throws more risk back on the party that can probably least afford the risk. So it will have some impacts on some individuals that are not over the adjusted gross, just because of where they're renting land. Mm-hmm. And the other one that we've done most of our analysis on is the impact of this $40,000 limit on the government's share of the premium.
And that could be even more of a blanket impact, if you will, right?
Well, we've run numbers in every county. Now, what we're looking at is average payment per tillable acre. And it really gets interesting. In Kansas, it takes about somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 crop acres. Again, we're combining everything together. So this is your corn and soybeans and wheat and everything to hit this limit. And that varies by year. In some years, it's as little as 1,100 acres. And that's because, see, the premiums and the price selections and the crop insurance contract changes. So you're going to eat the 40,000 up quicker if you're in a year when the premiums are higher and the price selection is higher, and vice versa. So it bounces around, which will create problems, because one year you got a problem because you're over the limit, and the next year you're fine.
And producers don't need that instability.
This is going to be fun, because they're going to want the crop agent to provide them, am I going to be over or under? And if you're over, what do you do? Well, I think you'll see a whole lot of things be done. Number one, they're going to try to create new entities. So we're just going to double the paperwork. We obviously have seen with FSA, people are very creative at creating new paper farms. I have no reason to believe that won't occur with this either, unless they write the rules so tight that they can't do that. I'd be surprised. But that'll be one of the things they'll do. Then if you can't get around the limits and you're not over the AGI, then you start thinking in terms, well, do I insure the corn and not the soybeans, for example? So where do I want to apply my 40,000 to? Mm. And I'm probably going to apply it to the crop that I think is most likely to have a claim, which could create some actuarial issues, but it is what it is. So nonetheless, I think there'll be a lot of different strategies. Will people cut their coverage level back? And then if you got a bunch of people who are uninsured because I didn't insure my soybeans, and of course the soybeans, obviously that would be the one that would fail. And then you press Congress for a disaster aid. And I don't care if this Congress says no to disaster payments. The next Congress might well say yes.
Right. And it becomes a disincentive for crop insurance participation.
Right. And more importantly, if you go to a private market completely, and let's assume you could actually buy insurance in a private market, it's going to be at least double what you're paying now, if not more, if available. The point being is you're not going to pay those kind of premiums as long as you have the expectation that you will get disaster payments if something big happens, and the infrastructure is there to make the payments. You can see the office in your hometown. So Congress is not going to vote for that. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So there's no way if we revert back to policies that have fewer people insured, I firmly believe that at a bad year, we'll get back into the disaster payments.
You will be talking about the repercussions of all of these possible and proposed changes to the crop insurance program as one of the breakout sessions that you'll be directly involved with, Art at Risk and Profit. A quick moment here, we want to acknowledge another of those sessions, and we have had occasion to discuss this here on the broadcast as well, the ongoing issue of non-convergence of wheat prices. There has been some action taken that will kick into effect next year, and you'll be sharing what that's all about.
Actually, this ties right back to crop insurance, because the price on crop insurance is determined by the futures markets. And if you don't have convergence, it's not giving you the full value of the protection that you thought you had. So all these programs tend to be interconnected. The CME has made significant changes to the contract, which I'm sure you've seen in the press. Starting in March of 2018, they're going to a variable storage rate. And eventually that storage rate is going to get high enough to where nobody's going to pay it. And the long is going to stop making those storage payments, and they'll turn around and convert the paper into real wheat. And that's when you should get convergence. Or at least that's the theory. We're going to find out. You can imagine, I've had a lot of conversations about this particular issue from people who are in the industry as to what they think the impact will be. Nonetheless, it affects the insurance program. It's going to affect, if it works the way the supporters of the VSR say, it will affect the local basis because it'll bring that convergence together. Well, see, that's going to affect what you're getting offers in the way of forward contracts. It's going to affect minimum price contracts, deferred price contracts. Effectively even the cash bid is all mixed up in that too. So it's even more than just those who are directly selling futures, which is the smaller percentage of farmers. So that is a point that we will be discussing in greater detail. Depending on who comes, it could be a really lively conversation because based on our feedback, there is a lot of disagreement over the VSR. I just came from some national meetings where the developer of the VSR was actually arguing that it's eventually going to be put on the corn-soybean contract. If out in the future, soybeans got caught in a position where we didn't get convergence, I think obviously they would go to the VSR fairly quickly. So that's where we're at, and like I said, that could be a very lively discussion.
This is a significant change that will affect wheat markets in Kansas for sure. Coming up in 2018, it'll be fully detailed by Art and his colleagues, and questions will be bantered back and forth concerning that change during that session on non-convergence in the wheat market. Art will tell folks here a little later on the broadcast about how to register for the conference. Looking forward to hearing what you have to share there. Thanks for the preview. Art Barnaby is a risk management specialist with K-State Research and Extension, and we'll tell you about yet one more breakout session taking place at Risk and Profit next week after we step aside for these few moments. You're listening to Agriculture Today.